Fargo's police chief is being criticized again by the city's mayor. What did David Cebulski do or not do this time? An infant is dead in Fargo after being bitten by the family dog. What do we know about this horrendous story? And a group of Twin Cities area families says no biological males should be allowed to play girls' sports while their lawsuit unfolds. Those stories plus new minimum wage about to go into effect in Minnesota, UND set to welcome its biggest ever freshman class, and bad news for a former Bison football star. He will miss the upcoming NFL season. Ugh, no bueno. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is August 20th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. We're going to talk about that, as I mentioned, coming up today on the show. I hope that you will partake in the festivities today. Would love to hear from you at 701-271-1100. You can also, oh, by the way, I should mention that is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They have recently expanded, and they can get you in quickly. So whether you need help with occupational therapy, physical therapy, nurse practitioner, mental health counseling, they can see you very soon. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co. You can email us, studio at flagfamily.com. You can text us, 701-237-1590. But we do love phone calls, so give us a shout. I'm going to hop right to it today because we have got a lot of ground to cover. I have in the show stack today, just in the 4 o'clock wrap, I have 16 stories. So I always say we try to do these rapid fire. Sometimes they require a little more of an explanation. But I'm going to try to rip through them today because we got a lot of ground to cover. I think all of these are very interesting and very important. So we got a lot to do here. So let's go. It is the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines. We're rapid fire style today to get you everything that you need to know to make sense of what has happened in this crazy world around us today. And we start with the almanac for today, August 20th, 2025. How about that? We're almost two-thirds of the way through the month of August already. It's September in 11 days. Oh, I'm not ready for this. Average high for this day is 80, so we have gone down 1 degree in our average high temperature. 80 degrees, the average high. 56, the average low. Record high, 104 back in 1976. 34, the record low in 2004. It was 34 degrees on this day in 2004. We might get into the 40s here this weekend for low temps, but nothing like 30s. Holy smokes. Sunrise this morning was at 6:31, sunset at 8:28. Yeah, we've been talking about it here. Sunrise after 6:30, sunset before 8:30. Ugh, don't like it. We're now at the point of the summer. It is still summer, where we're losing more than 3 minutes of daylight every day. Ugh. In the markets today, another mixed day on Wall Street without a lot of heavy movement. We're kind of trending sideways. I think the market's trying to figure out what to do next. The Dow was up 16, S&P 500 down 16, NASDAQ down 142. WTI crude oil today up about 80 cents at 63.14. Gold today up $33 an ounce at 3,392. Silver up 56 cents. At 37.89. Bitcoin today, up about $1,000, $114,450. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, unchanged from yesterday at $3.13. Minnesota's average price is $2.92, North Dakota $2.90, South Dakota $2.97. The most expensive gas in the country is California at $4.49, and the least expensive gas in the country is Mississippi at $2.68 a gallon. Diesel fuel today down a cent at $3.69. In the news today, Fargo's mayor is criticizing the police chief yet again, just a couple weeks after the whole, why aren't you doing a press conference to let people know about things they want to know about? The mayor says the police chief did not do a very good job of communicating the whole matter about opening up a satellite location for the police department in the 45th Street Shields store. He said so on Scott Hennon's program this morning, and he says there are concerns about the way this plan was communicated to the city commission. Says they've been working on this for about a year or so, But it was dropped on the city commission meeting notes last night as a consent matter, which basically means it was just supposed to go through without much discussion. And there were questions that came up. Why are we doing this? What is, are there any other options? Michelle Turnberg asked that at the meeting last night. Were other businesses considered? Why Shields? And so Mahoney says, you got to communicate this stuff a little sooner. Now, is this alone a reason to fire the chief? I don't think so. But man, it's just another brick in the wall of criticism on the police chief. This after everybody kind of just apparently decided we're going to go forward, and nobody brought forward a motion at the meeting the other night to do a removal of the chief. And I've asked Dave Pepcorn to come on the show. He said he was not able to. Michelle Turnberg, same thing. And today I don't have time to get them in. I'll continue to ask that question. Like, you guys both said that there were issues. You're thinking about something. Why has nothing been done? But it has not yet. All right, story number two. An infant is dead after being bitten by a dog in Fargo. Valley News Live reports this one. And this actually happened a while ago. It was Wednesday, July 30th. Fargo PD was dispatched to a report of a dog bite in the 3100 block of 32nd Street South involving an infant. The infant's family had already taken the child to a local medical facility, and the infant passed away as a result of the injuries. The dog has been quarantined. We don't know anything about the breed of the dog, what the injuries were. Obviously, an infant, it doesn't take much. And it may not have been a mean-spirited move by the pet. I mean, sometimes they will want to play, right? And sometimes puppies don't know the difference. And so what a sad story there. How would you handle that as a parent if your dog kills your kid? Ugh. The forum reports today that the Fargo Dome has held 47 events so far this year, and both attendance and total event income are slightly lower than projections. They say it's not completely unusual in the first half of the year, and things get busier and more productive in the fall. The net loss now stands at about $151,000. They had projected the loss to be about $128,000. But they say when all is said and done, the Fargo Dome is projected to break even this year. There have been years where they've made some money. Doesn't look like this will be one of them. Forum also reports that a new parking ramp has been christened at the Hector International Airport. The ribbon has been cut. It was cut yesterday on a new $47 million parking ramp. Four levels, 971 new parking spaces and shelter for air travelers. The mayor said this is a good thing. People don't have to worry anymore. Is my car going to start in the cold, trudging through the snow? People will now have a ramp where they can pack everything in the car. WDAY Radio reports that a third consecutive night of mosquito spraying is set for parts of Cass County. Vector Control will be doing some spraying in rural areas of the county after 8 o'clock tonight. There was aerial spraying over Fargo and West Fargo on Tuesday night. I stood outside and pumped my fist and cheered when the planes came over my head. I don't know if any butterflies or bees were killed, but I know that mosquitoes were, and that's a good thing. The department says tonight's operation is about, quote, severe nuisance control with a focus on areas at highest risk for West Nile virus. Keep on spraying, boys. A carpet bomb my neighborhood. Attorneys representing three Twin Cities metro area high school softball players have requested in federal court today to temporarily block transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports. All right, every time these stories come up, I feel like I have to translate for you, because what you see reported in most media sources doesn't really help us understand what's happening. So these three families in the Twin Cities do not want boys to be pitching on the girls' softball team. And so they filed suit, but it takes a while for the suit to happen. And so while the lawsuit is unfolding, these families are saying that their request is that the boys not play while this suit is being worked out. So we'll see what happens there. Valley News Live reports that kind of an interesting story about cost of living in Minnesota. The State Department of Labor is now adjusting its minimum wage to $11.41 an hour for all employers in the state. And the bumps go into effect January 1st. But employers now are needing to provide employees with written notices of the change before the adjustment goes into effect. In the Twin Cities, the number is a little bit higher than that. For teenage workers, the 90-day training wage is $9.31. So that is now employers have to make those notices to their employees. UND reports Valley News Live is set to welcome its biggest freshman class ever this weekend when all the young ones move in. They're expecting about 2,500 first-year students. Good job, UND. A lot of these programs, a lot of these schools have benefited from offering these free tuition programs, basically pay for your books, your room, and your food. And tuition is a little bit less, and it has definitely gotten more kids at more schools into college. It certainly looks like it's working there, and UND having a record freshman class. There is a new entrant into the race for Minnesota governor. She is a Twin Cities Republican. Her name is Kristen Robbins, and she officially announced her governor's campaign on Wednesday. You know, on the Steve Hallstrom Show, we do not use the word gubernatorial because it's just a weird word. And I don't like to say it. So the governor's campaign is kicked off. She is third in among Republicans. Scott Jensen and Kendall Qualls have already announced their plans. Governor Walz has not yet revealed if he'll seek a third term, but is expected to make an announcement in the near future. President Trump, according to CNBC, announced today that his administration will not approve any more solar or wind power projects. Yes, you heard me. None. No solar, no wind power projects at all. I don't know what to make of this. It seems like we could still use more energy in this country. But the president said in his Truth Social post that came out at the kind of the same time this executive order was made, he said, "We will not approve wind or farm-destroying solar. The days of stupidity are over in the USA." Interesting. CNBC also reports that their survey that they did of people within Wall Street circles says that they believe Kevin Hassett will be the next Fed chair. But when asked who should be the next Fed chair, the results were Kevin Warsh. Now, both Kevins are believed to be in the very good graces of Donald Trump. And the guys that I follow, Larry Kudlow, Brian Westbury, Charles Payne, they all have good things to say about both guys. So we'll see what happens there. By the way, people who responded to this survey said they do believe there will be two rate cuts this year, but inflation will continue to persist and maybe even go a little higher. Very interesting there. Reuters reports that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is investigating Xcel Energy, the Minnesota-based power company, in connection with a couple of fires that happened in Texas. The office says it has issued civil investigative demand letters to Xcel Energy and two other energy companies related to the wildfires to find out if any Texas laws were broken by these energy companies. You might remember I told you that about 30 different newspapers in the Midwest and Arizona, a couple other places, were shutting down because the operator of the company that owned them was closing its doors. Well, a dozen of those recently shuttered newspapers in Wyoming and South Dakota are set to open again, after some buyers stepped up within days to prevent the rural communities from becoming, quote, news deserts, where little or no local media remains. Very interesting. One of them in South Dakota was a local printing company, so like a paper company, said, we need to make sure we have news there. And so they bought it, terms not disclosed. These things don't have to go through federal agencies where they would disclose that. But good news that some local business people are stepping up to keep these papers going. Now, how long will it last? We don't know, but we're glad to hear these things. We are a fan of local news. Israel today has entered the first stages of its planned assault on Gaza City after a plan was hatched that includes calling up to 60,000 reservists for its expanded military operation in that Palestinian area there. They say that they are going to do everything they can to minimize harm to civilians. So they are going to give warning to citizens to allow them to evacuate, and they will continue humanitarian aid, which they wouldn't have to do, but they continue to do it. And one more here for you. Former Bison football player Cordell Volson, who was a fourth-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals back in 2022, has suffered a shoulder injury that will likely force him to miss the entire upcoming season. It will require surgery. He's been a starter pretty much the whole way there and took almost 1,000 snaps during the 2024 season. All right, it's 4:22 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we return, we're going to find out about a new senior living facility that sounds very interesting. It's called the Ranch at Sunset Valley. I love the name. We're going to talk to Tyrone Leslie, president of Heritage Homes. They're behind the effort, and Tyrone will give us the lowdown coming up next. The Horace community is growing like crazy, and there's another addition to the landscape, and this one sounds super cool to tell us about it. Tyrone Leslie is here, president of Heritage Homes, and they've got a new development called the Ranch at Sunset Valley. What a great name that is, and I'm so excited to find out more about this one. Mr. Leslie, it's been a while. How have you been, my friend?
Hey, God bless you, buddy. It's so great to hear from you again.
God bless you, too. Yeah, well, thanks for making our community better in the million different things you and your family are involved with here in town. And I can't wait to find out about Ranch at Sunset Valley. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, we had our development that we did at the Wilds probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was called the Ranch at the Wilds. It was wildly explosive. It was just an amazing project that we are so honored to be a part of. And now, actually, all the home sites are now sold out. So to launch Sunset Valley and the ranch at Sunset Valley is so exciting for us. It's going to have so many unique features that I think people are going to be just very, very excited about. A lot of different floor plans that we offer, no steps. If you want to have bonus rooms, you can do it. So much flexibility that I think it's going to be really, really awesome.
So is this a development, Tyrone, that is really just for like 55 plus, or is it kind of everybody and anybody who might be a good fit?
You know what? Anybody that really has that kind of that attitude where I don't want to worry about yard work, I don't want to worry about steps, I just want to be able to lock my door and leave. If you're a professional saying I don't have time for yard work and that type of stuff, snow, dealing with that type of stuff, you don't have to worry about it. You lock your door, you leave, or you go to work, whatever. It's maintenance free, and that's really what it comes down to. Is it popular with the 55 plus people? Absolutely it is. It's wildly positive there. But the reality is it's not segmented only to that. So it does have a lot of flexibility.
Well, that sounds like something we can all get behind. I like what you're talking about there. No snow removal. Don't have to mow the yard. Just make it easy. And I think you brought up a really good point. There are a lot of busy professionals, and I could raise my hand on this one too. And you're working, you're traveling, and gosh, you finally get some free time. The last thing you want to do is go out and fire up the snowblower or mow the yard, especially when the mosquitoes are carrying you away. So I think that's maybe an untapped niche here that could be really good for you guys. I bet you hear from people a lot who are just looking for simplicity.
You know what? That's exactly what it comes down to. It's really about the simplicity, enjoying life for what it's worth. And it's been, again, so successful in our last project that doing this just made, it was just a no-brainer for us. But what it doesn't stop there. We have these beautiful meandering lit paths with beautiful landscaping. We got a state-of-the-art clubhouse that will be built with golf simulators, beautiful gourmet kitchens, living room areas, heated pools with fire pits overlooking a pond. We have a workout center as well going in. Pickleball courts, not one, but two, which is the fastest growing sport, as you know. Mm-hmm. It will be there for you, and that's all inclusive. So it's really going to be an experience. It's something you always find down south, but you never see in North Dakota. Well, at Heritage Homes, as you know, we try to do things that may be a little bit differently. And thank God this project is just looking so incredible. We've already have reservations. We have homes that are sold already. It's very exciting and very humbling, to be honest.
Are these all single family, condo, duplex, apartments? What kind of style of homes are we talking about, Tyrone?
Great question. They're all single family homes. So you don't feel like you're going into an apartment. You don't feel like you're going into a townhome where you can hear people next door. It's just like the home that you're in, but it's just that it's right size living. Mm. So we really designed these homes around beautiful square footage layouts, no wasted space, but you're not giving up the things that mean the most to you, which is typically going to be your great room area, your kitchen area, your master bedroom area, along with the master suite. It's designed for livability, but not wasted square footage. Unlike a lot of homes have finished basements, they have two stories, you have five bedrooms that you don't use anymore, four bathrooms. People don't want that anymore. They want to really maximize their efficiencies, but they don't want to give up that space and that entertaining area. We have these beautiful porches, these outdoor patios which are all inclusive, by the way, in these homes that are awesome. And that's what people want to see, and that's where they want to spend their time. So it's really something you got to come out and take a look at.
Yeah.
It's really one of a kind. And we are doing an event next Tuesday, actually, at the job site to show people what the development's going to look like with renderings and showing videos of what it's going to look like. And, you know, reserve your lot.
Okay. 6440 Sun Valley Boulevard in Horace. And the development is called The Ranch at Sunset Valley. Prices start at what, Tyrone?
You know, you're going to be looking probably in that upper fives. Is what you're looking at. Another good thing about pricing too, I'm not sure if you know, like, we did all of our own infrastructure at this project, which means we saved quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. Our specials are anywhere from probably $12,000 to $19,000, and it pays them off. Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, that's smart these days, because those special assessments are a killer, and a lot of us are trying to figure out how to get rid of them. Well, this is a great way. The Ranch at Sunset Valley, and go out there and check it out. Our Bonnie Amistadi is going to be out there next Tuesday, a week from last night, for the big open house, 5:30 to 7:30. So, Tyrone, thanks for joining us and telling us all about it. We need more housing, no question about it. This sounds like a great way to do it.
And you know what? The city has been so awesome to work with. They're very excited about it, and, you know, bringing that type of product that's so unique to the community. They're very ecstatic about it. And having an HOA and knowing that you have everything taken care of, it's $295. Takes care of all your snow, your grass, the clubhouse, the pickleball courts, the pool areas, all the ground maintenance that we're putting in, the landscaping. It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
we're
sounds
very,
like
very
a
excited.
Really good value. Can't wait to see it, Tyrone. I appreciate you joining me to tell us about it here today.
Hey, God bless. Appreciate you so much.
Yep,
take care
too.
And have a great afternoon.
Thanks,
take
Tyrone.
Care.
You do the same. Bye-bye. Tyrone Leslie, president of Heritage Homes. Worth a look. Worth a look for sure. 4:33 here. It's time for us to check out news and weather. We're going to start in the newsroom. Take it away, boys. If you live out on the country, you may very well have some outbuildings, some sheds, granary, something like that that you need to make the farm or just the homestead run. Well, DJ Coulter and the team at American Family Insurance want you to remember that you've got to have the right amount of coverage on those things as well. When the storms came through earlier this summer, a lot of people lost grain bins or sheds or garages that were detached from the home. And those things you oftentimes don't think a whole lot about. You know you got to protect your home, but what about those important buildings on the property as well? Yeah, you got to protect the machinery, you got to protect the home, but you got to protect those buildings too. Now, the team at DJ Coulter American Family Insurance, they're not going to try to tell you got to secure those buildings for hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. But what happens if you lose that building and you have to replace it? You got to have some coverage in place to make sure. You don't want too much, but you got to have the right amount. That's the great thing about DJ Coulter and his team. They're not going to try to get every penny out of you. They know that you got to make a budget. You've got family expenses to meet just like they do. So they know the drill. Get a chance, though, to make sure that you've got the right amount of coverage and have that conversation with DJ Coulter and the team at American Family Insurance. 701-235-6641. 235-6641. Good people over there. Good faith, family, freedom people. You can trust them. The DJ Coulter American Family Insurance Agency. All right. Here's my question for you. What is on your list of non-negotiables for voting? President Trump came out earlier this week and announced his intent to start a movement to eliminate mail-in ballots. He says there's corruption, fraud, all over the place when you have mail-in ballots. And he said he's going to sign an executive order to bring honesty to the 2026 midterm election. And he wants to do it by barring states from using mail ballots and potentially get rid of some voting machines as well. And he says we need to do these things so we make sure that we have elections that we can trust. So eliminating mail-in voting is an idea that the president has talked about a fair amount, and he doubled down on it here this week as well. The second thing that Trump has been public on is mandatory voter ID and proof of citizenship. I don't know that there are very many people, really, who will argue this point a whole lot. Because, yes, you've got some on the left that are saying, well, you're making it tough on people of color as though, you know, it's you're expecting too much from people who are minorities to be able to have ID. I don't know. It's demeaning to me, but they say it with a straight face. So that's number two. Number three is paper ballots and same-day voting. I guess I'll put that all together in one category. The president has pushed for a return to paper ballots, same-day voting, saying they're more secure. And this kind of rolls into everything else there. So you've got the paper ballots, same-day voting, so it doesn't drag on for days and days, and voter ID, and eliminating the mail-in voting. So I want to know from you what it is that you, what's on your list of non-negotiables here on this deal, 271-1100, and you can weigh in on this one. I'm curious to hear from you. I have my ideas, but I want to hear from you first. So let's start with Dan on line one, and Dan wants to talk about this very issue. Hi, Dan. Good afternoon. What's on your list of non-negotiables for voting?
Yeah, both of those sound, I mean, basic common sense. Voter ID, I think we should all be behind that and proving who's voting. And, like, the biggest concern I have is the Dominion voting machines, which is not just Dominion. We use three in Minnesota. But there's no auditing of the machines that broke down our previous elections. And I spent hours on the phone with Steve Simon and asking the Secretary of State questions. And there's a lot of questions that people are working down at the Secretary of State that just don't even know. So the only person that knows is the Secretary of State, Steve Simon. It's like, if we don't audit the machines, what machines are breaking down from what companies, and then they're just, no one knows where they're being made. It's big red flags. And the other thing is having a whole month of voting before and a whole month after to certify. It's way too long.
Yeah, very 100%. That's the one thing that drives me the most crazy, probably, Dan, about everything is you hear these elections in foreign countries where they have it all done like 3-4 hours after the elections are done. And in some of those cases, they're able to do it with just paper ballots and they hand count them. There's two people watching. They certify it, send it in. And by 10 o'clock, everybody knows who won. They have a party until midnight or cry in your beer till midnight. Everybody gets to go to bed. These days, it just seems like we never, well, I shouldn't say never because we were able to get to the bottom of it. But so many times we have results that we don't know. And these lawsuits about we need to allow the ballots if they're postmarked by the certain days, like, come on now, we're expecting more of our house pets than we are about our voters on how to be responsible as an adult and get your ballot in. So that's the part that, to me, of all of these things, it looks the shadiest to me.
Yeah, those should be definitely concrete. I mean, everyone should agree on the basics, and I feel like that's clearly the basics and brings out transparency.
No question about it. Dan, thank you for calling. I appreciate you weighing in on this one today. And thanks for being a warrior on this one and asking questions. If nobody calls and asks questions, then people are just going to think, well, you know, no big deal. We'll just kind of do whatever. So, all right, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. That is the question. What's on your list of non-negotiables? What should Election Day look like in your view? I want to hear from you at 271-1100. From the text line, Steve, if you want voter IDs and make it as easy as getting a driver's license. Isn't that the same thing? John Oliver did an analysis on his show where a district in Wisconsin had a voter ID requirement. The problem was the office for voter ID was open for a very limited time. Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You've got to have, if you're going to require some kind of ID, a driver's license should work. I think that works just pretty much all the time there. Another thought, Steve, I think it's good to get rid of the mail-in votes. I like machines, but they're too easily hacked. So I think this is a valuable point. I think we need to know more about the machines. We all know that there are algorithms that can be set. I mean, just look at your favorite social media account. That can get manipulated 100 different ways. You see some posts, you don't see other posts. Now, we don't know. Are these machines tied to internet systems? Are they housed in servers internally? We just don't know. Like, when is the last time that you had, some buddy in a big blue city say, we just want to answer all the questions you have about our voting machines? I mean, maybe that's happened, but have you seen it? I sure haven't. And if someone would come out and say, here's what it is, here's how it works, we audit these things, and Dan brought up a good point a minute ago, that you've got to have some audits. You got to make sure that these things are working. Now, we had on a guest from Fergus Falls, and they were just putting in some new systems there, and we were asking how that worked. And when I listened to them talk about how their system works, I said, you know what, that makes sense, because they did have auditing, and they did have double checks of that. So that's a really valuable thing. But I think in areas where you have more political controversy, you probably have to have observers of both parties that are taking a look and being involved in that process. And those are things, maybe that happens, but nobody seems to want to talk about it. And that, to me, is a problem, because we want to know. And you got to have Democrat and Republican people that are looking over the shoulders, that are part of the audits, and are saying, yes, this is good to go. I like it. It makes sense. And it checks out. You have to have these audits, and just don't think we've had enough of that. So that's definitely an important point that we need to have in here. From the text line, Steve, I liked it in the good old days when everybody went to vote and you were done. And we have always had parts of North Dakota that it's harder to get to the voting place, but you took time off of work or you got off the tractor and went to vote that day. One day or a few hours of a drive to vote on something as important as our president is not too much to ask. That makes sense to me. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Hal wants to weigh in on this. All right, Hal, election day comes around. What do you want to see happen? What's on your list of non-negotiables for a good election day?
Well, I kind of want to turn it sideways here right now. We're going to need a whole cultural change in this country. Right now, volunteers, if you've noticed, going in for election days, they're somewhere between 70 and 80 years old right now. And we aren't getting any kind of volunteers of people who are, in their 60s and below. If we go to paper ballots and having these type of people counting right now, they're putting in about 12 hours a day on election day by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, people under 30, probably very few of them are voting in itself. And just the whole cultural change of how things are going, right now, those electrical machines, you hit a button and everything goes straight to the main office in Cass County. It's just kind of unbelievable.
Mm.
But if we think, paper ballots and having people around, well, that might drag on for another six,
yes,
8 hours.
Yeah, it sure might. Hal, this is a really good point. I want to talk about it. I've got a break I need to take, but thanks for giving a call in. I want to talk about Hal's point here, and there is a way to do this. There is, and it's not rocket science. It just takes a little organization. How can we have better representation, more people that can help out on voting day? It is, like we say, it's only one day, but we need to get enough people to actually make those things happen. Hal makes a good point. So I'm going to tell you how this can happen and one very easy step that can be taken in this area when we come back on the Steve Holstrom Show. StyleSafe Bath and Shower has done more than 1,000 jobs locally here since they opened in Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo back in 2010. They are the experts in tub to shower conversions. They do free in-home safety assessments. How about that? You heard me. Free. And they will go over all of the kind of hot spots in your home. It could be a place where you'd have a risk of falling in your home. They want to keep you on your feet. So they can add railings, grab bars, supports near your bed, your favorite chair, and they are specialists in making sure the bathroom works for you. A lot of people will try stepping over the edge of the tub and falling. That's a big area where there can be a problem. So if you want to stay in your home as long as possible, well, that's a great thing, but you got to make sure it's a safe home for you and your loved one. StyleSafeFargo.com is their website. StyleSafeFargo.com. Give them a call. So Hal had a really good point that, okay, if we're going to have people hand count ballots, we all love our senior friends who volunteer, but look, at the end of a long day, that's tough for anybody. And as we get older, you know what? It's easier to kind of miss a few things or whatever. Here's what I think needs to happen, and here's what I think could easily happen. If Cass County government would do some kind of an outreach to businesses, let's say they said, hey, I got a call or an email. Mr. Holstrom, we know that as you run a business in town, you got a team of people that are working very hard doing a lot of things. We are asking, will you spare one person for one day and send them over, or two people for 4 hours a day to work on being an election official? I would figure out how to do that. I think most businesses would as well. Maybe just a little outreach and asking for help might be a good idea. Hour two of the Steve Holstrom Show coming up next. It is time for hour number two of the Steve Holstrom Show here on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Jay Thomas, eschewing his opportunity to get out early and enjoy the evening, has decided to stop by for a few minutes. And after last week, I'm glad to see you back.
Yeah.
So thanks for
was it last week when I forgot to blew out of here?
Yep. That's all right. How was the Jay Thomas Show today?
Busy. Okay. A lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. We hit a couple things. I actually stood up. I don't fall out of your chair, but I actually stood up for the Fargo Police Chief today.
You stood up
for him. Yeah. Because I heard.
I thought you got out of your chair for a minute. I'm like, that big a deal?
I stood up and defended him somewhat.
Okay.
So I talked about that. And then the this illegal truck driver with the CDL that killed three people.
Oh, the guy that did the U-turn?
Man, yeah. I'm telling you what, the calls that we got from truck drivers, both male and female, that have been doing this for years, the stories they had to say on my show. I don't know if I want to go back out on the highway. And then we called Captain Brian. He went in because there was talk about, you know, okay, what happens if you can't speak English, you can't read English, and you have a CDL in this country? Well, that has been a federal law for years, but depending on which administration was in, they were lax on it. But as of June 1st, nationwide, Trump administration's cracking down. So if you're at the wayside restaurant, you get pulled over. If you can't read, because they'll ask you, okay, we need you to read this. If you can't read enough English, you're done driving. You're done right there on the spot. You're not going anywhere until you get this rectified.
Who's going to talk to the company that hired this guy to do the driving for them? Because you can crack down on the illegals all you want, but until you go after the employers, you're not going to solve the problem. You cannot hire illegals in this country.
No.
And if something like this happens, expect you're not going to get your pants sued off.
How California can hand out CDLs that somebody is here illegally, you know nothing about them. Number one, they came here illegally, but number two, you know, you're just going to hand them a CDL. You don't know what the heck they're going to do with that CDL. You got to be kidding me.
That's
now I
California.
Know the Attorney General in Florida. He's throwing the book at this guy. He says he's going for life in prison. And if he doesn't get life in prison, he's going to go for as much as he can get. And then as soon as he does his sentence, he will be turned over to ICE and out of here.
Well, I think in Minnesota, too, they have illegals with driver's licenses.
We're checking into
what happens if some illegal crosses the center line gets drunk or whatever and takes out some people. Mm-hmm. Like, in, let's say that they are driving in North Dakota or Wisconsin or Iowa. It's like the state of Minnesota needs to be held responsible. The state of California needs yes. to be on the hook, too.
And it sounds like Florida's going to figure out how they can go after California for this. Now, that's you brought up Minnesota, and that's something we're looking into because Minnesota does give out driver's licenses
yes.
to illegals.
Yes, they do.
So we're doing some digging. Want to find out, do they give out CDLs? Because if they're giving out CDLs to illegals in Minnesota, you're right. What, do you cross over here, kill somebody? No, yeah. The public needs to know what's going on our highways and byways.
And I'm so tired of people saying, well, it's only one guy. Statistically,
it's one guy
this
hauling
is,
80,000 pounds and kills somebody.
It only takes
three people.
One. So why are we allowing the possibility to even exist
exactly.
that someone could do this? I get it. You're right. Statistically, it's not that. But the guy shouldn't be here. And this is the point of all of these illegals. Leave the these are good people or these are bad people out of it. They are people that come in here that do not have a right to be here, mm-hmm. and they come in, and because certain states, localities want to give them benefits, they have all of these things. So it attracts, you know, flies to
honey.
Flies on honey. There, bees on honey.
I'll save you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot on that one. So it's like, why do we... this drives me crazy when people just say, well, it's not that many. Well, it should be none. There should be no chance of this ever happening.
Okay, it's not that many. Okay, if that's the argument that people are going to use, then you know what? Your head's buried in the sand. You live in a bubble. It's not that many. It only took one to kill three people yep. in a minivan because the guy couldn't read a sign. Because if you look at the video, right there where he tried to do that U-turn and jackknifed and killed those three people, a 37-year-old, a 50-year-old, I believe a 52-year-old, two dead on the scene, third one died on the way to the hospital or at the hospital. Right there, right flipping there is a no U-turn sign.
And you shouldn't even need, I mean, that should just be common sense. Whether there's a no U-turn sign there or not, you've got to know that you, by your actions, you're going to put other people in danger. I've got to believe that there's somewhere in the road manual that says, even if there's not a no U-turn sign, if you try to pull some kind of controversial maneuver on the road and you kill people, it's your fault, whether there's a sign that says it or not.
You're not whipping a U-turn in an 18-wheeler on the turnpike.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Here's what I'm thinking. This is my assumption, okay? Guy couldn't speak an ounce of English, couldn't read the road. If you can't speak English, you can't read. And Captain Brian Nemo brought this up. When we test you, too, it's not like you can read the number of the exit. No, you've got to be able to read what street is at, whatever writing's on it. I'm thinking that this guy missed his exit because he couldn't read what the sign said. Real, I missed it. So he's doing a U-turn, can't understand that's a no U-turn, and did a U-turn there and killed three people.
This is a really good question. You got to also be thinking about the language barriers. Mm-hmm. And did the guy fill out an application? Did he do it in person? Did anybody from DMV in California do a driver's test with the guy? Could you, like, all these things you have to ask, but they are so intoxicated with this idea of giving benefits to illegal. And I don't know why, Jay. Yeah. Maybe there's some money thing. That comes to you there's, somehow, but
money's always tied to it.
I guess somehow
money is always tied to it. And then you have this scumbag, and that's what he is. He's one of the scariest men on the planet. Governor Gavin Newsom. He goes out there and tries to blame this on Trump. Well, Trump, you gave him his work credentials, and Trump's people came back and said, no, idiot, we didn't. Take a look. In 2020, our administration said, no, we denied him. Biden, in 2021, gave him his work credentials to be here illegally and work, to be a truck driver. Idiots.
This whole thing with sanctuary cities and sanctuary states and whatever, like, I just wonder, did I hit my head on something and wake up dizzy in some new world where nothing makes sense? Because this whole thing of we are fighting to bring illegals here, it doesn't make sense in any way or shape. The only thing you could say is, well, we feel like we're being good humanitarians, but you're in the business of running a city, not being a good humanitarian. It's got the needs of the people and the safety of the people has to come first.
Since,
what are we doing
since
here?
When do our citizens come last when it comes to the people that we elect and put in office to handle this country, whether it's public safety or whatever it might be. Mm. How do we become last? This is the United States of America. You earn your opportunity to be here.
You have to. You have to. Andy in Moorhead wants to weigh in on this subject. He joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, see, tough situation. It's horrible. It's, you know, call it what you want. I think it's really sad that there's Democrats out there that no matter what, they just vote against Trump. I mean, and now we have three people dead because no matter what, if Trump wants illegals out of the United States, they're going to say we should have illegals in the United States.
Yep.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, it's going to get to a point, it's already at that point where it's going to take a local Democrat or their family to get killed by an illegal in some stupid situation for those Democrats locally to wake up.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't even know if that'll do it, Andy. I mean, they're so...
Their derangement is so bad.
The ideology and they worship at the altar of all of these liberal ideas, and they don't think in it. I don't know if that would even do it. If Gavin Newsom's kid got killed by an illegal, I don't think he'd change his mind.
No, he would come up with an excuse probably to defend the illegal.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Andy. You're not wrong at all.
You're dead on.
I just wonder what would be bad enough. Honestly, the thought, it has to cost them in an election somehow, or it has to cost them financially for them to change what they're saying here. But don't you think the people in California, even if you're a liberal, don't you like start thinking, you know, maybe we should have some limits on some of this. Some of this doesn't really make sense.
Well, you're seeing that now in Washington, D.C. Even the liberals, the left, are coming out.
I think that's true.
And they're going, you know what? This crackdown is... It's working.
Yeah.
I mean, 550 arrests. The crime rates have in 9 days just plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
Plummeted. So they're going, you mean really I can walk down and grab a beer and a slice of pizza
this
and I'm not
going
to get mugged or murdered?
Yeah. Hey, Andy, thanks for calling, brother. We appreciate you, bud. Thanks for listening to the show today. Take care. I also have to ask you before I finish up, the police chief in Fargo is chewing out the mayor in the town is chewing out the police chief again.
Yeah.
Just after they all kind of apparently had a kumbaya, and I've called Dave Pepcorn, called Michelle Turnberg. Neither of them have been able to come on yet. And I want to say, what happened to the effort to recall the mayor or the chief? Why can't I keep these straight today? The police chief. What's going on here? And now the waters apparently are going to calm down. And then here we now have the mayor saying, you know, he didn't handle this very well. I don't think this thing in and of itself is a fireable offense. But at some point, Jay, how many dominoes fall here before you say maybe this just isn't the right fit here?
I have my thoughts when it comes to the mayor and the police chief, because you're right. At some point, you have to go, it's just not working out. This is not the right fit. Two things. Number one. I was watching the commission meeting on Monday, Fargo City Commission meeting, waiting. Okay, this is going to be it. Dave's going to, you know, do his proclamation or whatever it is. Didn't do it. And I honestly believe the reason Commissioner Pepcorn or Commissioner Turnberg didn't do this, I think it's because they knew what for. We do not have a third vote. We've already told the public how we feel. We are not going to get a third person to get on board with us. So why even waste the time doing it?
It's not like them, though, to not want to fight.
I think it's frustration, too. I'm not making excuses, but it's like I'm not going to sit here and waste my time because it's going nowhere. But I will say this. I heard the mayor on with Scott this morning, and I was taken aback. I'm like, hold on a second. Now, as a person, I like Dr. Mayor Tim Mahoney. He's a smart man.
Same.
most of the times. He's a good guy. His heart's in the right place. There's a lot of things that I just don't see eye to eye with him on. When he starts saying that, you know, hey, the chief has to communicate more, let the commission know what's going on, I'm like, wait a minute. Ho, slow your roll here, buddy.
Mm.
You are the mayor. This has been worked. This started in December of 2024 with this trying to find a workstation /substation. You as the mayor hold the portfolio for the police department. you're telling me that you did not know that this was being worked on, that Shields offered up a spot, and not just like a closet. It's a nice spot that they offered. And kudos to Shields. Fantastic for them doing this. They do it in other cities. You knew, Mayor. So before you start tossing the chief under the bus on this, shouldn't you, as the mayor that holds that portfolio, why didn't you bring this up to the four commissioners? That, hey, look, just so you know, I want to bring this up. Mm. We're looking at places. We've been offered from, seven places. Shields has offered us. Mm. So he holds some accountability here. And Michael Redlinger, who's the city administrator, the top dog, who's at every commission. I mean, you're telling me Michael Redlinger didn't know that this was being looked at? Come on. You can't put all this one on the chief mayor. Mm. You could have said something to your commission that, hey, look, here's what we're looking at. Now, maybe the mayor didn't know that this thing got finalized. Then the mayor's got a point. Hey, chief, you got to let me know. But again, almost a year this has been worked on and you've been working on this, and you say nothing to any of your commissioners or bring it up at a commission meeting. I put it on the agenda. Hey, look, here's what we're looking at doing.
Yeah, I would want to, if I was a city commissioner, I'd want to ask some questions about, okay, how much is this going to cost?
Exactly.
To rent this space? We got to know.
That's free.
Oh, it is.
Shields is giving them a 3-year deal on that. Now, I believe the city is going to have to what do we got going on out here? We got firefighters out here and highway patrol on the interstate. If you're heading south on I-29, you get close to 32nd Avenue, be ready to possibly
52nd.
Or 50. Yep. No, 30 seconds right here. Be Steve, 32nd Avenue right here. You don't know where we're at, do you?
You're right. Yeah. You're right. 30 seconds.
So watch it. Might slow down. It looks like traffic's really backing up already.
Yep.
And anyway, back. So from what I understand, it's a mutual of understanding agreement for 3 years. I believe the space is going to be given to the city for the 3 years. Now the city, I believe, is going to have to do the fit up in it, the equipment, and everything else. But there's no rent.
Are they going to be walking in and out the front door of Shields?
No, this is. Now remember, Shields Corporate is no longer there. They're in the old Goldmark buildings over here off 25th Street. Yeah. Remember Goldmark?
Yeah, yeah.
Shields bought all that.
Okay,
that's where all the corporate is. So there's no more corporate over at the Shields.
So 45th they got the
store.
Side entrance there.
So there's that side area where they won't have access to actually get into Shields itself. Yep. This is going to be like their own entrance, their own place, their own mini substation.
All right. Well, I was wondering if Shields is going to get kind of the byproduct of having cops around,
well,
so people aren't going to try stealing some stuff. But
it's a great move.
If they're on the side entrance, maybe it's not enough of a deterrent.
But you're still going to see law enforcement presence in that area, and there's a lot of apartment buildings in that area, and one of the recent murders was in that apartment complex that's right there next to Shields.
Well, and remember the Tesla charging station too? That was over there.
I got to say something about that. I'm driving into work the other morning. I'm usually heading in about 7:30. I drive by Shields every day on my way in. I look over. I'm in complete shock. Every charging station had a Tesla charging up at it.
Oh.
I'm like,
at 7 in the
holy
morning?
Holy smokes, man. People are actually using these things.
Well, I guess. Good for them.
I just had to bring that up.
All right, my man. Thanks for stopping in.
All right, good buddy.
See you. And thanks for helping me understand what street we're on here. I don't know why I thought that was 52nd behind me. So I spent too much time outside at lunch.
Yeah, it's really, really backing up here for our studios.
Yeah, I don't have exact details. I'm just checking Google Maps. There's an accident reported right in front of the Fleet Farm. So if you're heading south on 29, it's backed up pretty good ways.
Yep.
Well, and there's ambulances and fire trucks.
And
so
highway patrol.
Something's going on. Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy. Jay. The one and only Jay Thomas. Here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, we've got a short break here. Top 5 of 5 is coming up next. We've got a bunch of really interesting things to talk about here, including a story you don't hear all that often about the Fargo Dome. Typically, it's kind of been a money-making factory over there, but they're going to struggle to break even this year. That and more in the Top 5 of 5 next. All right, it's time for the Top 5 at 5. Today we're doing it at 5:28 because our buddy Jay Thomas stopped by. But let's give you 5 stories that I believe sort of transcend just the normal pablum of the news cycle and should definitely be items that you make a note of here, because these are part of ongoing stories or stories that really affect the way we live, work, shop, all those good things, raise a family. So we're going to start with story number one here. Jay and I were talking about it. The police chief in Fargo is coming under fire again from the mayor for a failure to communicate or poor communication after dropping the plan for a Shields remote workstation on the city commission without any kind of advanced discussion. And it had been worked on behind the scenes quite a bit, but there was not really any explanation to the city commissioners about this. And especially the new ones like Michelle Turnberg was like, okay, what's this all about now? And we're just supposed to pass it in the consent part of it, which means there's not really any discussion about it. So again, it's just kind of another sort of brick in the wall of the issues that it seems like Fargo city leaders are having with the police chief. Story number two, the lawsuit that's going on in Minnesota right now about transgender athletes. Another chapter has been added to that today because the attorneys representing the three Twin Cities families who are filing suit to prohibit biological males from playing softball against the girls. That lawsuit is going to take a while for it to get to the courts. So they have requested a temporary block for transgender athletes, biological males, from competing in girls' sports. This injunction that was requested would give the lawsuit time to play out, but it would prevent the boys from playing on the girls' teams while this happens. Now, softball isn't until the spring, but there could be potentially some volleyball players and things like this in the Twin Cities area as well. So they are saying, we want to make sure that nothing happens until this lawsuit gets a chance to play out. So that's story number two. Story number three, the state of Minnesota is telling employers right now to begin communication on the new minimum wage. It's going to go into effect across the state, $11.41 an hour for all employees besides teenage workers in training. And some large employers in the Twin Cities have to actually have a higher minimum wage. But the bumps will go into effect January 1, but employers are required to provide employees with written notices of that change, and they are encouraging employers to do that now. So if you are an employer, HR manager across Minnesota of a business, you are encouraged to begin those communications right now. Story number four, the University of North Dakota bucking a trend nationwide. They are welcoming their biggest freshman class ever to campus on Saturday when the new kids move in. They're expecting about 2,500 first-year students. This would be a record for the school, and they also say they're on track for the highest overall official enrollment in UND's 142-year history. Last fall's enrollment was the third highest ever at 15,019. And there is a new campaign being undertaken by President Donald Trump, who says his administration will not approve any more solar or wind power projects. He made the comments today on Truth Social. It says, we will not approve wind or farmer destroying solar. The days of stupidity are over in the USA. The comments come after the administration has already tightened some federal permitting for the green energy sources last month. And Doug Burgum is right in the middle of this because the permitting process goes through his office at the Department of the Interior. So five, I think, fairly consequential stories. There's a new, I could add an honorable mention here. Kristen Robbins has entered the race for Minnesota governor. She's a Republican, and she is now in on the race. She'll have to beat Scott Jensen and Kendall Qualls. She's a state lawmaker from Maple Grove. I saw her campaign announcement video earlier today. She talks about raising daughters, teaching Sunday school, and I love serving the people of my district and want to serve everybody in Minnesota. And Tim Walz is a failure. And so I saw that. I'm like, you go, girl. So there's one more story I'll add to that. Kristen Robbins is her name. And I did see Blois Olson, who does a commentary each day about Minnesota political stories. And he says she actually could get some traction in this thing because he says voters are not all that thrilled with Qualls or Jensen. So we'll see what happens. Still hoping for Liz Collin or Michelle Tafoya to get in that race. We'll see what happens. Those are what I believe be the top five, actually six most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the top five at five. All right, we got a short news and weather break coming up. But before we do that, I want to check in with a good friend of mine and one of my colleagues here at Fieldstone Group Flag Family Media, Janae White, host of the Coffee Club with Ronnie Lee on WDAY Radio, is doing a volunteer project today. And I'm super proud of her, and I want to give her a chance to let everybody know what she's doing. Hi, Janae. Tell us where you're at and what you're up to.
Hi, actually, I just walked in the door. We're done already.
Oh, look at that. All right, even better.
We had about 20, 25 people that met at the Shields corporate office today, and we made boxes with, or bags, I should say, with Heroes Compass. That 300 of them we got done, and they're going to each veteran that is going on the Veterans Honor flight here in September.
So good. So good.
A wonderful mission.
Yeah, yep. And this is near and dear to your heart. You've had a chance to go on that trip. And so for you, I know when this came up, you're like, I'm all about doing it. Why has this honor flight been something that's meant so much to you, Janae?
You know, there's veterans mean everything to me, and they should actually to everybody. But, you know, personally, as I have a brother that served his whole life in the military. He's now retired. He was a United States Marine. He's a combat veteran. I have seen the struggles that a combat veteran goes through. And I always just said that I wanted to do whatever I could to give back to our veterans. And we've got these wonderful nonprofits, Heroes Compass. They serve those who serve. So they serve our soldiers that are deployed by making boxes, care packages that go out to everybody deployed. And now they're doing it for our first responders too. So just really, you know, wanting to give back to those that give me so much.
You're awesome. Tell me what was in these little care packages that are going with the people on the honor flight.
Well, first of all, it started out, we actually decorated 300 bags. So we were able to write on the outside of them personal notes, you know, thank you for your service and you are a hero and all that. So that was really amazing. And then inside, there's a keychain that goes inside for them. There is little booklets that go inside for them. The most amazing thing that Heroes Compass does is they put journals in them. So they get journals that they can write in. When we have men and women deployed, they get journals in their box, but then a journal also goes to the spouse and their children.
Yeah, so good.
So they can write about their family member being deployed. So they get those. They got little treats in them, just lots of goodies. And I know I've been on one of these flights, and I know when they get these bags, these veterans are going to love it.
Like Christmas.
They get so excited. Yes, they love it.
Who doesn't like a bag? Who doesn't like a bag full of gifts and goodies? I mean, come on, we're all people. And it's so good.
Well, just a bunch of little things. I know that they will, companies will get a hold of Heroes Compass as well, and they'll put their things in form as well.
Yeah, so good.
Sun seeds, you know, things that have been donated.
That's great. Well, Janae, we're so proud of you. Thank you for being such a great representative and an ambassador for our company. And I'm sure that you'll get a chance to talk about it tomorrow on your program. But thanks for checking in and letting us know you and so many others that are serving and loving our veterans in this. It's really great to see. So thanks a lot for doing it, and thanks for filling us in today.
Problem. Love doing it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. That's Janae White. She is the best, no doubt about that. All right, 5:37, Steve Alstrom Show. School districts in our area are rolling out their new phone policies this week. What are they going to do? We'll have that first, though, check in news and weather. CardCare Systems is your best choice for an ATM partner. You just provide the location, and CardCare Systems handles the rest, and you get a share of the ATM fees with lower credit card processing fees as well. They sell and service ATMs for area businesses too, and they provide great customer service. Contact them to see if you qualify for their free 90-day placement program and start improving your bottom line today. Go to getmyatm.com. That's getmyatm.com. Well, Hillsborough and West Fargo have come out with their new phone policy because, as you know, now in North Dakota, kids can't have their phone during the school day. If you are caught with your phone, basically they're telling you keep it in your locker, keep it in your vehicle. We don't want to see it during the day. They're not going to take your phone from you at the beginning of the day. But first offense, you lose your phone for the rest of the day. And then the second time, your parents have to come and get the phone at the end of the day, and that would be awkward, no doubt. Well, tonight I'm emceeing the Capstone Academy's big event, so I need to duck out a few minutes early. When we come back, one of the more interesting interviews we've done recently with Robbie Law from the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library. That's next on the Steve Holcim Show.